above the horizontal.
Pushes away from McCulloch. Thurston gets the ball to Morgan. Morgan crosses the 20. Comes away to O'Neill. Gets the ball. Belt. Belt has scored. Belt has scored in the corner.
Welcome to Above the Horizontal, a podcast about rugby league. I'm your host, Bo Nicholson. We are halfway through round one, which has had the famous Las Vegas doubleheader. Those four teams are touching down in Australia for a well-earned rest, but the rest of the competition is ready to commence, and so are we. Joining me today are Daniel Friend and Kieran Gibson. Hello, Friendy. How's your week been?
Hello, Bo. Hello, Gibbo. Yeah, week's been all right, mate. I can't complain. Sort of halfway through the school term, and as I'm speaking, Joey, my dog, named after the great man, he has walked in the room to listen to our live recording. There you go.
A live audience. Always great to have Joey and, of course, the children nearby as well. Thank you to the kids and thank you to Joey. And we also have Kieran Gibson. Hello, Gibbo. How are you going?
Not too bad, mate. I'm just looking out from my unit at the West End, the Brisbane River, rather. Brown snake, as they call it.
I had my friend Marky visit from Japan, and I showed her around a few different parts of Brisbane, and she was like, oh, the river looks more brown than usual. And I'm like, yeah, we call it the brown snake here. And she didn't believe me. And I'm like, no, like we do. We call it the brown snake. Anyway, thank you for validating that. I'll have to send this to her. Boys, today we are going to be going through my wildcard award for the Las Vegas weekend. We'll be talking about Las Vegas, whether it was a success, what they can do better next year, because I believe it is going to be a five-year deal where we keep going back there. We're going to have the Big E chime in with his phenomenal tip of the week. We'll give our own tips for the rest of round one and a bold prediction at the end if we can. But first, my wild card. And I thought about name-checking our co-host Miles Stebbins, but I thought against it. Instead, I'm going to go with the Spencer Lenu Award for Biggest Flog, and it goes to Cody Walker, actually. Spencer Lenu did his best to earn this award himself, and if the allegations are true of what he said, then he probably does take the cake anyway. But I'll give it to Walker this week, because after Jason Saab from Manly snapped up an errant pass from Latrell Mitchell, he ran about 50 metres to score. No one was going to catch him. Walker and Damien Cook gave chase, but it was never close. So Saab scores. He runs over, throws the ball into the crowd, does a bit of a yelly celebration thing. Damien Cook, being a decent bloke, leaves him alone to his celebration, as he would. But Walker, though, he couldn't help himself but get in the face of Saab in an attempt to start some bullshit. Now, Walker is a talent. I really like him as a player, but running 30 meters to be the first one to an opposition player after he scored a try 10 seconds ago is some pretty flog bullshit. And I think he needs to cut it out of his game, because as likable as he is as a talent, I'm starting to think that Cody Walker is not a very likable personality on the field. So he gets the Spencer Lenu Award for Biggest Flog of the weekend, which is a fair effort considering some of the floggish behavior that happened. Boys, let's talk about Las Vegas. Because last week, it was you, me, and Chris, Friendy, and we were saying that we were kind of excited about the idea of having a footy more than excited about the idea of Las Vegas. I think we had some ideas of what the NRL was trying to achieve, but also about how successful it was going to be. So, Friendy, my question to you is, do you think that the doubleheader at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas was a success for the NRL?
Yeah, I do. Big tick, I think. The games were good as well. But yeah, I think there was a little bit of interest there. There was some funny ones that they showed on social media, and it was like, Kevin from Las Vegas said this. And it's like, is Kevin actually real? Is Kevin in the room with us right now? But yeah, I think it's a big tick. I think there's real positives moving forward with it. And I think, yeah, they might get a bit of interest from over there. So, yeah, well done.
What about you, Gibbo? Did you, I know you watched the game with your dad, rather, at home. Did you feel like the games were a good quality and a good product to advertise to the American market?
I don't know. I don't know why we're pushing it. I liked it, like, for this one-off, but I don't really... It'd be cool to see the game grow over there, but... I think the way that Americans grow their sports, there's a lot of cool stuff to it. Americans having to have the biggest and best of everything. I hope they don't try and turn rugby league into that, which it will turn into that if they try and grow it there. Yeah.
Friendy, there's been some conversation about what the NRL can do to harness this, what is being deemed as a successful weekend, including, so we are in, as a game, we are intending to go back there, dip back into the market for the next few years for sure. There's been talk about, well, could there be a Las Vegas team? Could there be the World Club Challenge could be played there along with one of the NRL games, or two, like maybe have three games over there in a weekend, including the World Club Challenge. Maybe there could be rotating teams that get a chance to go over there, or maybe we keep the same four teams and make it a real rivalry thing that the Las Vegas people get used to. What do you think about a bunch of those ideas? Some of them better than others, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, the rotating teams, it'd be interesting. It's hard to see a team spinning around constantly trying to play, but I think there's merit in a few of those ideas. I think a Las Vegas team is miles off. That won't happen in my lifetime, I don't think. I think creating maybe a bigger rugby league following could lead to a rugby league competition over there. I don't think that there's any chance of that linking up in terms of an NRL side or even a New South Wales Cup or anything like that. It's just the logistics of it, the talent. I mean, what are they going to live there? How many games they're going to play? Because then you've got the fly in, fly out. I don't know. It's very difficult to see any of that happening. What it can do is, yeah, bring some sort of American following, which would be pretty cool. And then I guess you've kind of got to assess it as you go. Yeah, what their overall plan is, I guess that gambling dollar is the big thing, and then the players get a bigger pie to eat from, and I don't know. I don't really see what the end game is, but it was pretty cool, and I think, yeah, it's worth going back. Shout out to quickly to one of our avid listeners, and Lawrence Leggy. He and his Punters Club are going to go back in a year or two for their 40ths. So, yeah, so that'll be interesting. So shout out to you, Loz.
Well, hopefully the Panthers get a crack over there for Lawrence. And that actually leads to my next question, which is, given that, you know, the Panthers have to head over to England, if they win the comp, or whoever wins the comp from the NRL has to go to England to play, they have a disadvantage. And the same for the English in reverse, although St. Helens did beat Penrith last year. Do you think it's a good idea if, as part of this opening weekend that's going to be happening for a little while, that the World Club Challenge is held in Las Vegas as well?
Yeah, potentially. That could be another good idea as well. Just with that, I mean, then they have to make up an extra game in the draw because they're playing the World Club Challenge when Vegas is starting, and it doesn't marry up, if you know what I mean, because then they come back and they have another week off. Like the other sides, so that go to Vegas, so they'll have to make up a game somewhere, and how that happens, I don't know. Like, is it too close to the season to travel that far for the World Club Challenge? I don't know, because like you said, they go to England anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see the Aussie team win though, because let's be real, Super League shit. I mean, please, like if you played that game in September, Penrith versus whoever you want. Like, Penrith had nearly beat England. So, yeah.
I think they would beat England.
They probably would, wouldn't they? Like, they get all high and mighty, the Poms. They win this World Club Challenge. Well, it's bloody halfway through their season and stuff. So, they're all fit and in form and everything, and our guys are treating it a bit like a trial. So, it's a bit shit from that point of view. So, I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I would just like to see Penrith over there for our friend Lawrence, so that he can check them out in Vegas. So we've just actually had a situation where Kieran has dropped out and he's having some internet problems. So it's just going to be you and me from now on, Friendy. Buckle in. Although, to be fair, it might be time to bring in the Big E with his phenomenal tip of the week. So we trade out one Gibson, we bring in another. Here is the Big E's phenomenal tip of the week.
G'day, boys. This is the Big E, Owen Gibson. I'm going to do my Big E phenomenal tip of the week, and I'm also going to do my board petition and my wild card as well. Yes, I did it right through it. I'm just going to say congratulations to the Sydney Roosters in Vegas that's good. But yeah, my first Big E Binomino tip of the week coming up is Saturday 7th. Yes, I am going to tip your team, Fendi. Only for my boy, the King of Coast, baby. What, what? Yeah, I'm going to tip the Newcastle Knights against the Raiders. And my other couple tips also, Warriors. I tip the Warriors. I'm going to tip the Panthers. Sorry, Monica, I'm not going to tip the Bulldogs. Dodgers! I'm going to tip the Panama Eels and going to tip the Titans and I'm going to tip the Cowboys, which me and my brother Kieran are going to do. We are going to do that. And also, congratulations to me. Second place, baby. And yeah, shout out to Miguel Luca. And have a great day, boys. Enjoy the pod. This is the Big E, baby. Big E out. Woot woot.
That was the Big E. Yeah, he's a very good
Big E. Very good. Love it. Love it. He's full of enthusiasm. Shout outs to everyone. Yeah, love it. Good work, Big E.
And he's backing in your Knights this weekend, Friendy.
What a guy.
What a guy. He also mentioned there that he came second in a race with his swimming. That's what he was talking about. So he got a red second place medal. Ribbon, of course, not a medal. They don't give out red medals. Good on you, Big E. Thanks for your predictions. Friendy, I reckon it's time for our predictions for the rest of round one. Although, to be fair, we both struck out Duck Eggs for Vegas.
Yeah. And as I spoke about last week at school, we got to decide some bonus points if you got both Vegas rounds right. And the max was 5, but the trade-off was if you got them both wrong, you'd be minus that number. And what do you know? I am minus 5 going into the third game of the season.
Wow, that's a good effort. I'm only on 0, so I can't, I can't relate.
There was one guy, and he used his double round, and he is minus 10.
Ah! Do you only get one of those a year?
Two, but he's actually my boss. So, yeah, unlucky champ.
Let's talk about, well, actually, just briefly, you mentioned that the standard of the games in Las Vegas was really strong. Did anyone surprise you? Did obviously, we tipped the other teams to win. But was there a particular result that was particularly surprising for you out of those two games?
I did kind of think Manly South was a little bit of a toss of the coin. Cherry Evans just showed his class steering the ship. Trbojevic was good. The outside back, lots of meters for the Manly Seagulls. So I can sort of see how they've got a win there. South's still, as soon as Cameron Murray goes off the field, geez, they struggle. Mm-hmm. But when they got to 20-12 after Latrell was just too big, too strong and scored that try, I thought they were going to run away with it. But they... few costly errors. Richie Kenner, he may have scored 2 tries, but his net result for the game was minus 1,000. He had a shocker. So I feel like that was okay. But surprisingly, I thought Broncos were absolute morals. And the Roosters, they were outstanding. They were back to their best. So Brandon Smith, for me, he looked super fit. And I think he's in for a big season. Teddy looked pretty good. Suoli'i looked really good. Joey Manu, outstanding. They're in for a big year if injuries are kind to them. So, yeah, a bit of a surprise in that game, I would have thought.
How nice was that try to Reece Walsh where they've Billy Walters had ducked out to the right and then thrown the big long ball to the left, far out. Some nice hands on the left from the Broncos.
Yeah, that was crisp. That was like a really well-rehearsed training drill, that one. So, yeah, well done to them. And they look good too. I thought that was a really high-quality game, especially for round one in a foreign country. They did well.
And narrow fields too. It would have been some adjusting. So, like you say, I think Vegas was a success overall. And a big part of that is that the quality of the actual fixtures for round one. So, well done to all teams. Let's move forward to the rest of round one, starting on Thursday at 8 p.m. from McDonald Jones Stadium. It's the Knights and the Raiders. Friendy, give me a reason why you think the Knights are going to win this one.
Two words, Kalen Ponga. He, over the years, has absolutely shredded the Canberra Raiders. It's been one of his better sides to play against. But no, more importantly, I think home ground, I think the boys will be ready to go. And just defensively, I trust our defense a lot more than I trust the Raiders' defense. So I'll be tipping Newcastle to get off to a good start at home this year.
Me too, I think. By a fair margin, I would say. I am very curious to see how Ethan Strange goes in the 5-8 position. We all thought that KO Weeks was probably going to get that spot, but he's playing reserve grade New South Wales Cup in the 5-8 position with Ethan Strange, who has come up through the grades in the centres, I believe. I came across him in that New South Wales under-19s game, under-20s or whatever it is, playing in the centres. So he gets a crack. Hopefully he goes well, but I'm with you. Maybe not too well this week, please, Ethan. Mm-hmm. The Knights to win that one. The next game is Friday at 6 p.m. from Go Media Stadium. It's the Warriors and the Sharks. I like saying that one. There is no chance Nickel Klukstar, so Tane Tuaapiki gets a crack at fullback with Roger staying in the centres. That's interesting, I thought. Who do you reckon is going to win this one?
I'll be tipping the Warriors here. I think they've got a decent shot this year overall, and I think they'll start the season pretty well. They generally play well at home, and the Sharks without Braden Hamlin, well, they struggle. So, yeah, I think the Warriors for me here.
Yeah, me too. What do you make very quickly on the choice of Luke Metcalf at 5-8 instead of, say, Tamari Martin?
I think it'll all revolve around SJ again in the 7. What they'll try and do, they'll have almost be playing with kind of two fullbacks rather than a 5-8 and a fullback. So Johnson will be at first receiver, or even Tohu Harris will be a bit of first receiver as well. And then sweeping out the back, you'll have, yeah, Metcalf and whoever's playing fullback that week. So, yeah, I think that's why it's they've gone with Metcalf. He's got speed to burn, that boy. So, yeah, he'll play more of a running sort of floating fullback role, I would say, rather than a traditional half 5-8.
I like that observation. I like the observation about Tohu Harris. And, of course, you can add Dylan Walker to that as well when he's on the field too. The next game is the Storm and the Panthers, big blockbuster at Amy Park. The Storm welcome back Pappenhausen, of course. The Panthers are without Mitch Kenny after a controversial social media post. So they've got Luke Summerton playing at hooker there. Who do you like in this one, Freddie?
Mate, I'm going the upset. And it's their bogey side, but I'm tipping the Storm. They haven't been able to get to Penrith the last, I don't know, few years. But, I'll be tipping Melbourne here. Round one, Bellamy's never lost a round one. So I'm going to back that to continue. Penrith, slowish starters. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see it go either way. But Mitch Kenny's a bit of a loss. And I think just on their edges, down Taylor May's side in particular, they struggled a little bit in that World Club Challenge. So might take a little bit of time to gel there. And yeah, I'm going to go the Storm at home.
I've noticed that Stephen Crichton has been voted by his peers as the 10th best player in the comp, according to Fox League, which is a surprise to me because I think he's going to beat a lot of very high quality players. But just one of those players that they have to replace. The Panthers seem to do it really well, but can they keep doing it? That's going to be the trick. I too am actually going to go for the Storm. I have locked that one in as well. Next game is the Eels and Bulldogs from CommBank Stadium, Saturday at 5:30. So you were correct in the preseason, Friendy. They've gone with Crichton in the centres, Blake Taff at fullback. Drew Hutchison gets first crack at halfback, as has been the case in the trials. Jamin Salmon gets first crack at lock, and that has moved him straight into my NRL fantasy team. Who do you like in this game?
I'll be tipping Para here, mate. I think the class will come through here in key positions. Moses Brown, Gutherson in particular. You compare that to Hutchison, Burton and Taff. I think whichever way you slice and dice that, Para have the edge there. So as long as the big boys up front, Paolo and Campbell Gillard, Hopgood can go forward, I give Parramatta every chance to rack up a bit of a score here.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking like 20 plus. And I'm glad that you pointed out that forward pack on paper, Campbell Gillard, Paolo are, you know, New South Wales reps. Hopgood is probably on the Queensland radar against Max King, Fa'amau Seeley and Salmon. Yeah, that's a mismatch to me.
I like teams that have contrasting styles of back rowers too. So you've got Cartwright, who's more of a ball player. He's got that little step. He's got the flick pass, things like that, a bit creative. And Lane is just a pure hole runner. So you can create different looks at different halves and things like that. I know they play on, like Cartwright will play right and Lane will play left, but it's just cool that their shape can be different because of how their back rowers play. So yeah, I think that's a good option for them too.
Yeah, I like the Eels in that one. And yeah, they might be a force to reckon with this year, unlike the Bulldogs. Next game is the Titans and Dragons from Cbus Super Stadium. Keno Keeney gets the first crack at fullback with AJ. They committing to the AJ Brimson in the centers thing, even while Jaden Campbell is injured. No David Fifita as well. And Sam Verrill starting from the bench is an unusual one. Chris Randall gets first crack there. The Dragons, speaking of unusual, they're sticking with an older and fatter Jack Bird in the centers. Zach Lomax on the wing. They're sticking with Tyrell Sloan. Kyle Flanagan at 5'8". This is an interesting looking team, if you ask me. I'm definitely going for the Titans. What about you?
Yeah, I'll be tipping the Titans, mate. This is probably my first fart noise game of the year, to be honest. and particularly like, what, 7:35 on a Saturday night. I mean, yeah, if anyone's going to get put to sleep early on a Saturday night, it could be watching this game. So, I'll tip the Titans, but I think it could be a bit of a bludger.
The good thing is for the locals, it'll be 6:35 in the Gold Coast. So, you know, it still might put them to sleep, given that it is the Titans, of course. But alas, we will see. And the final game is the first Queensland derby of the season. It's the Dolphins and Cowboys. It'll be 3:05 Queensland time, but 4:05 in New South Wales from Suncorp Stadium. The Big E mentioned in his phenomenal tip of the week that his brother Kieran will be going with him to that. Jack Bostock gets the first crack on the wing for the Dolphins. There's no room for Jared Wallace, no room for Jake Avarillo, no room for Ewan Aitken, and no room for Isaiah Katoa in the Dolphins side. Tom Gilbert being out injured for the season is a big loss for them, for the Dolphins, I think. But they bring in Farnworth and Tommy Flegler, and I don't know. They've got some class to the Dolphins. I can't be objective about the Cowboys. I'm glad Zach Laybutt gets a crack in the centers. I'm not glad that Felt has beaten Valame to the spot. I thought Valame was really good last year. I'm not glad that Jake Granville's on the bench when they could have Tom Chester. I'm not glad they've got Sam McIntyre there when they could have Thomas McKayley, considering his form in the trials. So I don't know. I'm a bit all over the shop with the Cowboys. I will tip them heart and probably head, but not by a lot with the head, to be honest. What do you think?
Yeah, I found this hard to tip until Tom Gilbert was out, so I think I'll go with the Cowboys. Dolphins, on paper, I think they're really growing as a side. Let's see how that plays out on the field. I just looking at their side, I think young Max Plath, he's named in the 15 jersey now. I don't see him being the reserve, I guess, back. So I think Avarillo may come in on the bench potentially. So just keep an eye on that. Or even Katoa could do that as well. So there might be a late change there. But yeah, I'll tip the Cowboys, but wouldn't surprise me if it goes either way. I think Jeremy Marshall King, he had an outstanding season until he was injured last year. So he'd be kind of my guy to watch, especially with Flegler there now laying a bit of a platform for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the subject of Max Plath, it's a bit of a boon for him to get this spot, I think, because it would have been very easy for the Dolphins to go O'Sullivan and Katoa in the halves and have Cody Nikorima on the bench. He's played in grand finals from that position. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious about that. I wonder if Avarillo is carrying an injury. I wonder if Jared Wallace is carrying an injury. He was really good last year. Ewan Aitken was good at times. Oren Keeley is a star from Newcastle that's one to keep an eye on. So I'm pretty high on the Dolphins this year. I think they could be one of those 9-12 challenging-ish, the 8 maybe, depends on depth and injuries. But yeah, I'm pretty high on them. But, you know, fuck them this week. It's the Cowboys all the way as far as I'm concerned. Friendy, what's your bowl prediction for the week? Do you have one?
Bowl prediction is Kalen Ponga to score 14 points or more in this game.
Nice. So that could be just 7 conversions. It could be 14 field goals. Get a bit of practice in.
Yep. Yeah, it could be, who knows, do penalty tries count? Because he'll kick the goals as well.
Oh, I wonder if they'll count. I suppose they probably would.
Get coat hanger a couple of times and kick a couple of field goals. Yeah, no, I just reckon he'll score a try or two and kick a few goals and, yeah, 14 points or more for Kalen.
Both of our bowl predictions will be over by Thursday evening because mine is Inari Tuala to score a double, and there's a method to the madness. He's replacing Dom Young on that right wing. That right wing was insanely profitable for the Knights last year. Now, I understand that Dom Young has some attributes that Inari Tuala doesn't. So I'm just curious to see how they go. And I think they will target, it's a new combination down that edge for the Raiders with no Jared Croker there this year. I think it's worth visiting that side of the field. I think Kalen Ponga will be all over that. And I've got Tuala for a double. I think that's, is that bold enough?
Yeah, that's bold enough, I think. He might find himself out of the side after this week. So yeah, good luck to him. He's scoring a couple.
Who would come in that situation, do you think?
Oh, I got big raps on a few of the guys. Mapapalangi, but what I would do, I would actually move Gagai to the wing and play Will Price in the centres because I think that boy's a star. So, I mean, Tuala's obviously got first shot. It looks like he'll get a bit of an extended run. Adam O'Brien seems to like him. So I'm just kind of kidding there. But, yeah, he would probably go well.
I had heard that actually about Will Price playing centre and Gagai on the wing, and Gagai is an Origin legend in that position. You know that he's going to give you at least 150 metres, and he's not going to make too many errors in that position. So just
defensively as well. Yeah, defensively as well. I think Gags, he really stood up last year defensively, but he's a little bit older now. I think he's like 33 or something. So it takes a little bit of pressure off him, decision-making. If he's that step slower as well, he can just basically be out on the wing. In terms of decisions, you just got to hit when your center hits like coming in. And with the ball, it's very simple. Just run hard from dummy half, run hard one off the ruck when you're coming out of trouble, and finish your tries. He's decent enough under the high ball too. So that's what I would do, but they've gone that way for a reason. So who am I to argue with the great Adam O'Brien?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Very good.
All right, Friendy. Are you going to be going to any games this weekend or any plans to watch the games with friends?
I had an option to go to the Newcastle game, but unfortunately, school night, it's a little bit difficult. I'm still about an hour and a half away. 8 o'clock kickoff. It's a bit tough to justify that on a Thursday night. But I will get to a few games throughout the year up in Newey. Friday, Shell and I and a couple of friends, we're going to Theo Von, comedian. I don't know if you've seen him, but
I've heard of Theo. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretty funny dude. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'll probably have to tape the big clash, the Storm and Panthers. But apart from that, I should be watching a fair bit of footy, I reckon.
How good. I'm considering going down to Suncorp on Sunday to see the Cowboys flog the Dolphins. But I have a very busy week ahead. I've got the Oscars are on Monday. I've got a whole bunch of podcasts to pump out about that. So I will see how I go. But if I can, I'll definitely go check it out. Friendy, thanks very much for your time. And thank you to Kieran earlier for ducking in and out. Thank you to the Big E for his contribution. Thanks to Miles for staying away. Sorry, Chris, we missed you. Friendy, good luck with your tips this weekend. We're going to need it, I think, with that -5.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, mate. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. And thank you to the listeners as well. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please subscribe and comment on socials and all that sort of stuff. It's really a big help to us. Please refer us to a friend as well. That's a big help too. But we will catch you next week where we go above the horizontal again. But until then. Above the Horizontal is a rugby league podcast by the fans and for the fans. It's produced by our entire team of former writers for Real Sport, including Daniel Friend, Christopher Waring, Miles Stevan, Kieran Gibson, and me, Bo Nicholson. We'd love it if you could support us by telling a rugby league fan about us so they can go above the horizontal as well. Thanks for listening. See you next time. You know what's tricky sometimes? Predicting who is going to win at the Oscars. You have to get yourself to a cinema to see all of the movies, or at least have all the streaming services so you don't miss a single one. You have to pay attention to all the precursor awards to see who is winning so far. The Golden Globes, the BAFTAs, they're the pretty obvious ones. But don't forget the Critics' Choice Awards, or the SAGs, or the DGAs, or the PGAs, or the Eddies, or the Gothams, or the AFI Top 10, or the National Board of Review. Ugh, exhausting, right? Or you can just join me for Academy Watch on the We Made This Podcast Network. I'm the host, Bo Nicholson, and I've been reading the trends, keeping the stats, and watching as many of the films as humanly possible, and I can tell you who the big players will be on the big night. Me and a guest will also be dissecting one of the key movies in the award season each episode. This year, it looks like Oppenheimer's to lose in several categories, including Best Picture. But can a mid-year release maintain momentum right to a Best Picture victory 2 years in a row? Or can Poor Things or The Holdovers stage a late-season surge to steal the prize? Is it too early to discount the cultural phenomenon that was Barbie? Or Martin Scorsese's late-career masterpiece, Killers of the Flower Moon? And what about the critical darling, Past Lives? Whatever the movements are across the various precursors and throughout the season, you'll have the best available information if you subscribe to Academy Watch wherever you listen to podcasts.